2 years ago, my mother came to stay with Mike and I. She came for a month, and it was right at the time that our daughter Clara was born. Now, she came to help us out, as any good mother might do, but she also came to plant a garden in our backyard. You see, my mom has a knack for gardening, and so she got busy planting this nice big flower bed along our side fence. There's lilies and daisies and sunflowers and even an azalea in there. And every night, she faithfully unrolled the hose and soaked the soil. And every couple days, she would go out and deadhead and weed. But then my mom left to go back home. Now, I was grateful for all of her work. I was delighted to have all these flowers to look at as I sat in our backyard rocking our newborn daughter. But would this garden thrive? I did not inherit my mother's green thumb. I don't seem to have a sense of when to water and how much to water. Plus, there was fertilizing and weeding and all of this amidst the craziness of becoming a new mom.
Life is a good thing, whether it's plants in a garden or a newborn baby, whether it's a newborn calf or a small puppy. Life is a wondrous thing. Yet, when something is alive, it needs to be more than alive. It has to thrive. It has to grow. Sometimes there'll be a very unfortunate mark put on an infant's medical chart in the hospital. It'll have the initials FTT, and it stands for failure to thrive. It doesn't mean the child is dead, but it means the child is not growing, the child is not gaining weight, and if the child does not start to gain weight, the child will eventually die. Today, we're talking about the kingdom of God, and in particular, we're confronting one simple question. What is happening with the kingdom of God? Is the kingdom of God thriving, or is the kingdom of God just surviving and really, in essence, dying? Now, when we talk about the kingdom of God, we're talking about something very big. We're not talking about doing good works or just about spiritual studies or even about the church itself. When we say the kingdom of God, we mean God's breaking into our world and asserting that God is king over all creation. Now, the question, is the kingdom of God thriving? Now, if the kingdom of God is thriving, we would be expecting miraculous things to happen all the time. We expect to hear about miracles on the evening news, or we would expect to hear about politicians who were pinning their hopes on God rather than pinning it on their own plans. And we would expect to hear stories about someone being made radically alive instead of somebody being killed. But unfortunately, we often hear the bad news. A couple weeks ago, I was on vacation with my father, and he had just checked his voicemail. And on there was a message that a pastor in their town had all of a sudden lost his eyesight rather unexpectedly. You know, if the kingdom of God was active, you expect that the message would be about someone gaining their sight, not losing it. Yet, we all hear these horrible stories of something bad happening to someone, about Iraqi veterans losing their legs, a tragic, meaningful death, all these different things on the news. It just seems like King God, where is it? But and then also, if the kingdom of God was thriving, we'd also be expecting to see other signs of life as well. We would expect that everybody would have a deep spiritual life, or we would expect significant church growth, or something like that. Yet, we feel like we're just surviving instead. We can feel tired of volunteering all the time, or we just feel like our prayer life is just... And there's many times when we think about all the power institutions in our world and you think, where's the church in all of this? Don't we have a bigger voice? Yet, when we are confronted with this, we don't respond by backing off. Instead, we look for ways to find a way to thrive. Take the churches, for instance. Do you have any idea how many church growth programs there are out in the world? A church will grow and sometimes become a mega church, and so their leaders will write this book and say, we've got the 5 ways to grow your church. And so they will trumpet, they've got the solution. And so they'll go, hey, we have the answer. We know what God's doing with his kingdom. Send us $20. The thing is, though, many of us do send the money, and I'd be a liar if I didn't tell you I have some of their books on my bookshelf. The thing is, we want so badly to make the kingdom of God happen. We want it so desperately to happen. We all have all these hopes for the kingdom of God to change all of our lives, to change our world. And so we keep looking and looking and looking.
During Jesus' time, the people were looking and looking and looking too. They had heard about the prophecies that the kingdom of God was coming, that the Messiah was to come, that a great and a mighty king was to rise up and bring freedom to the nation of Israel. But the people were getting tired of waiting. God was so silent. He wasn't doing much. Now, different people reacted differently. You know, we all have our own ways of dealing with the wait. The zealots, well, they tried to force the kingdom with political revolutions. They took up arms against the Romans. And the Pharisees, the teachers of the law, they believed that the coming of the kingdom was linked with legal observance. So, you know, the more the people obeyed God's law, the quicker the kingdom would come. Now, when Jesus arrived on the scene, the people got curious. Could this be the Messiah, the promised one? Is he the one who is to come? Or were the people to wait even longer for another one? You see, the prophecies were just enough to give the people a glimpse, a bit of hope that God was planning to do something grand. But it wasn't enough for a clear picture. The kingdom of God was still fuzzy in their minds. Yet this Jesus figure, he seemed to be matching up with the description. He made the blind to see, the lame to walk. He raised people from the dead. He proclaimed the forgiveness of sin. But with all of this evidence, something seemed to be missing. Because you see, Jesus, he spent so much time just sitting around and telling stories. He hung around with fishermen and tax collectors, women and sinners. How could these insignificant members of society, these outcasts, help the cause? Shouldn't Jesus be raising an army or networking with the politicians? For how else would the kingdom come, let alone thrive?
Jesus wasn't too concerned. Jesus didn't pay attention to the political activities of the zealots. He wasn't interested in more Jewish settlements, and he didn't want to become a king of a country. And Jesus had a tendency to critique the Pharisees. He didn't encourage them to bring in the kingdom of God through holy living as they saw it. Jesus, you see, was and is the ruler of the kingdom of God. God shows his kingdom best through Jesus. God broke into our world by sending his Son. So Jesus, the Son of God, should be able to tell us what's up with the kingdom of God. Is the kingdom of God growing? Will it thrive? So Jesus tells stories. The kingdom of God is like a championship football team. No, it's not. What? How about a 100-story skyscraper? No, or a marathon runner? or an expert specialized military unit, or maybe a glorious mountain. That's not the stories Jesus told. Jesus doesn't use any of these images. Instead, Jesus tells stories, but stories about little tiny seeds. Verse 26 in our passage. This is what the kingdom of God is like. A man scatters seed on the ground. Night and day, whether he's awake or asleep, the seed sprouts and grows, though he does not know how. All by itself, the soil produces grain. First the stalk, then the head, and then the grain in the head. And as soon as the grain is ripe, he puts the sickle to it, because the harvest has come. It's not really much of a story. I mean, the farmer is not much of a hero either. He doesn't follow the five steps to a successful harvest. He doesn't look for political alliances to get a farm subsidy. He doesn't rely on holy living to make it happen. He doesn't work and work. He doesn't make the seed grow. He can't make the seed grow. Instead, it's just that the seed just grows. It could be day, it could be night. It could be awake, it could be asleep. It doesn't matter. The seed just grows. The farmer doesn't understand how. It's a mystery to him. All that's required of the farmer is to wait. The farmer must wait as the seed grows into a stalk and eventually into a mature plant. And it's then that the harvest time comes. But how it comes, it's a mystery. But the seed does grow and thrive.
Now, Jesus is not done telling stories about seeds and the kingdom. For again, Jesus says, what's the kingdom of God like? A mustard seed, an itsy-bitsy little mustard seed. But this seed grows, and it becomes the largest plant in the garden, and its branches, they are so big and bushy that even the birds can perch in its shade. But why a mustard seed? Mustard may be a condiment, you know, the spicy tang that we need for our grilled brats. But the mustard plant's actually considered to be more invasive than cultivated. Mustard plants have the ability to spread rapidly, and the many and various varieties they grow all over the world. Mustard's common. It could almost be classified as a pesky weed. Plus, it attracts birds that can be destructive to surrounding crops. So really, why the mustard seed? Why not a pine cone? A pine cone that would grow into this towering forest of cedars. Jesus knew that the crowds would be familiar with the comparison of the cedar to the kingdom of God, because the cedar was used in Old Testament prophecy. The cedar was that most majestic tree. It was an image of God's mighty and overarching reign. But Jesus wants to expand our understanding. The kingdom of God is like a weed. The kingdom is not imported from some exotic country. The kingdom doesn't always emerge with impressive power. Rather, the kingdom of God is found in every backyard. This past spring, I missed an incredible growth that happened in our own backyard. That morning, I noticed that tiny little sprouts of our lily of the valley was peeking through the topsoil. Now that evening, I went back into our backyard, and I'm not kidding. Those tiny little sprouts were 4 inches tall and a half an inch wide, and they were plump with leaves just ready to burst open. I did absolutely nothing. I didn't water them. I didn't fertilize them. All I did that morning was walk away. This astounding growth was a complete mystery, a delightful surprise. And one more thing you need to know. Lily of the Valley is invasive in our backyard. But I don't care. I leave it there because I love the dainty flowers and I love the sweet fragrance. The kingdom of God can be found growing all over the place. The kingdom has taken root in every church and in every believer's life. Every expression of our faith, every venture that is done in the hope of the gospel, these are signs of the kingdom. It doesn't matter if our church is large or small. It doesn't matter if what our congregation does is a failure in the world's eyes. It doesn't matter if we're new to the faith or have been a believer our whole lives. It doesn't matter if we're 9 years old, 39, or 99. Because it's God who gives the growth. God, he fertilizes our hope through the death and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. God waters our faith through the assuring presence of the Holy Spirit. Our faith and our hope are like little tiny mustard seeds planted in the garden. Our faith and our hope are impossible to remove when they have taken root.
God's word to you this evening is simple. The kingdom of God is thriving. God sometimes does act in very big ways, but frequently God acts in small and subtle ways. Think for a moment with me about a time in your life when God really spoke to you, where God really broke into your life, where you had an encounter with God. Do you have the time in your mind? Now let me ask you, was all of creation turned upside down for that moment? Did the whole world have to change just for you to have that encounter with God? Or would something happen that anybody within 100 miles could tell that you had had an encounter with God? Probably not. God frequently doesn't work that way. I suspect that God broke into your life through a small seed. Perhaps your life was turned upside down by a kind gift of love. Or perhaps God took hold of you through a prayer or a song or a piece of bread. God likes to work through the smallest of seeds. Yet there's a great mystery for us to see. These seeds grow. We don't quite understand how, but God grows these seeds into lives of faith. These seeds grow and become congregations. They become service projects. They become food banks. They become groups of mentors. They become congregations working with other congregations. They become so much. They grow taller and taller until lives are resting in its branches. God is making seeds grow and thrive until they are signs of God's complete rule over all of creation. And so in the meanwhile, we are each called to be patient as we witness the mystery of God's kingdom. We look for God breaking into our lives in the small, everyday ways. And we are also called to faith and hope in the kingdom of God. We have hope because God is growing something in his garden that will be bigger than we could possibly imagine. In the book of Revelation, the Apostle John wrote to the early Christian churches about the garden city which God is growing. John paints us a picture of God's garden. Listen to the word of the Lord from Revelation chapter 22.
Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, bright as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb, through the middle of the street of the city. On either side of the river is the tree of life, with its 12 kinds of fruit, producing its fruit each month. And the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. Nothing accursed will be found there anymore, but the throne of God and of the Lamb will be in it, and his servants will worship him, They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads. And there will be no more night. They need no light of lamp or sun, for the Lord God will be their light, and they will reign forever and ever.
We are invited to see the beginnings of that garden city, to look at the little tiny seeds and the small growing plants, and to take joy in watching it grow in ways that seem very subtle and insignificant to the world, but will grow into the beautiful vision that we just heard about that is far bigger than we could ever possibly imagine. I invite you, watch the mystery of God as he grows his kingdom. Amen.